When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
All right, everybody, welcome back to Bingetown TV. This is a little bit of a special episode, a random episode. Just kind of the guys getting together, broing out. We're missing B-Tom's, missing Kathleen, obviously. But we're not really covering any shows specifically at the moment, but we've kind of just been dying to get back on the mic. So we're just going to chill out today. We'll talk about kind of books we're reading, TV we're watching, maybe any movies, things we're looking forward to. Pretty free form. I know Jimmy does have some questions he wants to ask us. But yeah. Other than that, I think we're kind of just diving around. I can even start. And I guess this will be an interesting thing to start with in that I actually just watched Severance episode one today.
Okay. Ooh. I'm proud of you.
I figured that would get some good reactions, but yeah, I really liked it.
You should listen to the Pitchtown.
Yeah. Don't watch one more episode. Listen to the Pitchtown.
Okay. Fair.
Well, okay. Real quick. Let's pretend this is a bitch town.
A bitch town. Am I the bitch? Am I the bitch?
You bitching?
You just created a new segment, man.
Yeah, right.
Bitch town.
Yeah, we could make that new episode. We were on shows.
We were joking. This is like a year or two ago, or whenever we thought of Pitch Town, we were saying Bitch Town would be whenever someone has something bad to say about a show. It's like our segment. But let's pretend it's a Pitch Town, Kyle. Is this a binge immediately? Add to the list, or what's the deal for you?
It's definitely a binge immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked just, And I'm not going to spoil anything because obviously not everyone who's listening to this has watched the TV show, but I like how mysterious it is in the beginning. And then they kind of quickly get to the point in the middle of the episode to clear some things up for you. And then it ends with like the actual huge overarching mystery a little bit. And Adam Scott is just awesome.
Yep.
The pacing of the first episode is so well done. Like you said, you just get thrown into the scenes where you're just like, what the fuck is happening? And then about 30 minutes later, if not less than that, you're just gifted with the rewards of knowing what exactly is going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're confused in the beginning with the mystery, kind of a cold open. And then they do immediately answer it in a good way, too. It's like the little video that they watch or you watch, the characters watch. And then the ending is like, okay, fuck, it's way bigger than we thought it was. Obviously, you're getting like a weird feeling from the characters a little bit, but it's definitely ends in a way where it's like, okay, I just kind of want to crush the rest of this.
Yeah,
it's basically like a super Black Mirror episode
100%.
Expanded into a series. And Kyle, I don't know if you knew this, but so Ben Stiller's actually one of the executive producers on it. It's cool, but he thought of the idea of Mark. He thought of Mark with Adam Scott in mind. Like he wrote that character. Mm-hmm. With the idea that it was going to be him.
And I'm pretty sure
10 out of 10 show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tyler said on the Pitch Town that Adam Scott was cast and no one else for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think he would like call Ben Stiller and be like, I'm thinking of this guy or I'm thinking of this. They were working together. And our boy from The Magicians, main character. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited about it for sure. It was funny, too, when I was watching it, I was... Obviously, it's Adam Scott. And I was thinking, like, what is his name? It just would not come to me. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking Ben, but I knew it wasn't Ben. That's just who he is in Parks and Rec. And then I was like, okay, his last name's Scott. And I couldn't get Michael Scott out of my head. Because I had thought that Steve Carell, not Ben Stiller, was the person who was the executive producer. So I was all over the place for like 40 minutes there.
So I want to put at least some basic structure to this episode. I kind of split up things in three sections. And you can just freeballed however you guys want to. It was what you watched recently and finished, what you're currently watching, and then what you plan on watching. So this Severance kind of falls into what you're currently watching, Kyle, right? And like White Lotus, did you finish that?
I finished White Lotus, yes.
So that's what you watched. And what are your thoughts just in general, because that's always been high on the list?
White Lotus season one, so I've not seen any of season two. I thought it was fantastic. Asia and I watched it together. We watched it pretty much in 2 days, I guess. It's only six episodes, but some amazing performances. There is a very classic Kyle character in it. He's like Alice's dad from The Magicians, kind of a little bit. Just like in that like lane of like quirky, zany dad characters. So immediately, obviously, he was my boy. I the way I would describe it is like, it's almost like watching a car crash in slow motion. It's like a really interesting fuse between like kind of like reality television, but also like scripted drama. But it's funny. And there's like, you find out what like, right in the beginning, you find out what the mystery is, that there's going to be a mystery. And then the whole show is now leading up Like you go back in time to the start. Yeah. And then you work up to the point of where the cold open was.
Right. Right.
And I thought it was fantastic. I'm excited to watch season two.
Kathleen loves it. I'm probably going to be watching it with Steph. Kathleen was saying that it's something Steph would watch, and we all know that Steph doesn't watch much. So I'll be happy to watch something with her.
Yeah. I pitched it to Darlene, my oldest sister, last night. And she was like, that sounds right up my alley. It's just, like I said, it's like scripted reality. Well, reality television is scripted, but like scripted yeah. drama, mystery reality television.
Okay.
Sounds like your first Pitch Town.
Yeah, I know, right?
Could be, I guess. And I was also, speaking of Pitch Towns, I was also convincing her to watch Dark too. So,
nice. Woo! 1899.
Right, so what are you planning on watching soon? What is on your list?
Yeah, 1899. Yep. 1899 coming out, but I guess to change into something that, that is already out and not like an upcoming show, I would say Barry's kind of up there.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Speaking at Jimmy's wedding to a couple people. Yeah. And they kind of convinced me that I had the wrong impression of Barry and that I should definitely watch it. So I'm tough though. I'm such a momentum guy where like it takes me a lot to like start something. And then if anything happens midway, like I'm falling off the wagon and it takes me so much to get back onto it.
I am loving where I'm at in Wheel of Time right now. And I'm in book five. But I haven't read in probably a month and a half just because I stopped because of my wedding and I just haven't been able to get back into a routine where I start again and it's pissing me off. So I know exactly what you're saying.
I want to hear what else you got going on because
I'll take it. So right now I'm not currently watching anything. I'm about to start something, which is Vampire Academy. I want to follow along. Give the shout out to Jason Diaz. We had no idea what the show was going to be. And apparently I haven't listened to the pod yet, but Paul, Brian, and Kathleen enjoyed it. So that means I'm watching. I'm going to follow along with the pod. That's my next one. But I am very, very interested in Arcane with Luke's Pitchtown. Mm-hmm. So that will be an automatic binge if I like it because I just heard so many good things. So I'm kind of going into that Pitchtown a little biased, but we'll see. But I am going to be starting my read of Wheel of Time again. That's going to be my big go-to. So that's where I'm at right now. 1899. Can't wait for that. I don't even know. I almost want to watch Dark again to get ready for it, but we'll see.
What have you finished recently? Anything like including movies, like anything can be on the board of.
Oh, well, if we're going to talk about anything, I know Luke, you'll enjoy me talking about this for a second. I mean, for the first time in it's been out for 7 years, I just watched Interstellar and I know you've been talking to me about that for a long time, all of you guys. And for whatever reason, I missed it. I just totally missed the boat on it. It wasn't one of those things where I didn't have any interest. It wasn't one of those things where I started and stopped it. I just never came across. And you guys always told me to watch it. And I was on the plane ride home. It was on. There it was. And I was like, let's do it. And I freaking loved it. It was amazing. And I don't know why I wouldn't have loved it because mostly everything Christopher Nolan does it for me. And I actually was going to watch Tenet next, but I couldn't get subtitles on it. It was annoying me. So I skipped out on that and I'll try it another time. Interstellar was really, really good.
Top three movie of all time. Did you cry?
I did not cry.
Oh, wow. You didn't feel?
I feel things, but I don't cry usually. I was actually talking to Kathleen was actually just talking to me about this too. And we're not going to do any spoilers here, but I was just saying, I don't think I've ever cried from a TV or movie, but Kathleen goes, well, you got close in the Magicians. And I'm not going to say any other thing else. And I was like, wow, that messed me up. I've always been like, I get those feels, but I don't shed. The tear doesn't come down.
I'll never forget my first time crying to like a TV show or movie was literally in the theaters for Spider-Man 3. It's just so random. But like, just so random.
Because it sucked or...
No, it was good. Like the Sandman got to me. I was emotional. I was like, this is the first time I've ever cried.
We know Paul cries because he did it on the pod for everyone to see.
Oh yeah. Tony Stark, obviously, in Endgame. That's not a spoiler anymore. No. We all know that. See, like I was in theaters and I was like, dude, end of an era, and I was like, tears.
There's no way that I'll ever give anybody shit for crying. We're a TV podcast. We 100% appreciate all of that. It's just that I haven't done it, but I do 100% get those feels.
Speaking of movies and crime, have you ever seen Marley and Me?
No, I have not.
That was the second one.
That's why. That's why
I haven't cried. I don't watch things that are gonna like that. I'm only watching to make me cry. Like
it's like once you get the one that breaks once you break the seal, it's just game over. It's just so easy to do. Like
I've never seen Marley and Me, and I don't think I could handle it. So I'm just gonna leave that on the shelf.
Yeah.
I actually watched it recently. It was bad. I cried a lot.
That's
it's so good, though.
Sometimes it takes place in Philly, too. Oh, does it really? Is that is that Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jennifer Aniston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I know one you're talking about, and I just heard it was a cry fest, and I just didn't click that button. I wasn't ready for it. But
it's like me with scary stuff. That's why I haven't seen any of the Flanagan shows.
Yeah.
You're fucking
you
up.
You are
there.
Missing out, though. You're missing out on that. I'm missing out on crying. You're missing out on being scared, dude.
You can't get to everything. You can't get to everything.
All right, Paul or Dave, you want to grab it next?
I can go really quickly. Just because I haven't really seen any TV shows, but our house, me, Luke, Alki and Chase, well, mainly me, Luke, and Alki, we like to watch a lot of movies, I would say. The one that I had watched recently with Alki was Swiss Army Man, which surprisingly was actually a very good movie. It had a nice like comedic twist to like the theme of death. And I was just it was like such an immature movie. Like he farts and I'm just like cracking up. Like he gets a boner. I'm cracking up. Like it was just a very well done movie.
Staying Radcliffe, right?
That was like to me, that felt like his first like big movie that wasn't Harry Potter. I remember seeing the trailer for it way back in the day and be like, oh, look, Harry Potter's not Harry Potter anymore.
Well, that's why it was funny, because you see the trailer and you're like, what the heck is Harry Potter doing? And again, it is a what the heck you doing, but it got rave reviews.
Yeah,
and Paul Dano's in it. He crushes it too, honestly.
He's the man.
He is the man. And for some reason, like, he is widely found attractive by a lot of women.
Funnily enough, that's where I got, besides Family Guy, the Am I Ugly question that you ask people, because it's from Girl Next Door when he's in it when he's younger. I don't know if you guys remember that movie, if you've seen that movie. If you haven't, please watch it. It's hilarious. But they're at a porn convention. So he tries to hit on some chicks and they keep on walking. And he just turns to his friend and he goes, dude, am I ugly? And the guy's like, the kid's like, no, dude, you're fine. Stop.
But yeah, finished a few of those movies. Obviously, I think we had mentioned this on the podcast that Luke, Alki, and I had also done Lord of the Rings. Luke had separated himself a little bit from me in Rings of Power. I think he's on. Where are you at?
I'll talk about that. But
I'm on episode. I finished episode 2.
Extended edition, 4 hours a piece. We watched these. We did Juggernauts. Amazing.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, we had to give credit where credit was due by watching it with the extended version, and honestly, couldn't tell you what the extended parts were. But it was still just a treat to watch just 4 hours of content, because those movies, rewatching them, I appreciate them so much more, honestly. Agreed. I think they're some of the best fantasy movies, honestly, out there. But the show that is on my list to watch next has got to be Midnight Club. Big fan of Mike Flanagan stuff. I've been slacking on the TV shows. I always love just a nice quick one-shot show. So, Kyle, you've kind of sold me a little bit on White Lotus. And it's funny, I was pulling up the list of shows that I wanted to watch, and White Lotus was actually on there, which I didn't even know it was on there. But Midnight Club
probably snuck it in, or somebody snuck it in on you.
Possibly. But yeah, Midnight Club has got to be on the list first. I love Mike Flanagan.
You're going to love it. You love all of the Flanagan stuff. So
every single one has been amazing. Like even Midnight Mass, those were two great ones too.
But you're also in the middle of Stranger Things, which you've been slow burning like a motherfucker.
I don't know what happened. I think season two, I did enjoy it, but it felt almost a little recycled. I've heard the resurgence comes around season three. Like, cause I feel like the first two seasons, like everyone loves season one, and then the season two is where you kind of get the questions of people are either like, oh, season two was incredible, or it wasn't that good. And I'm feeling it's on that bottom side.
Dave meets eight and he's like, I'm out, dude. Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. I'm out, which is like everybody else. So I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's also harder for me as a person to get into shows that are like five seasons when like everyone's art. Like I'm
Binge Town TV, dude. You're a binger.
Yeah, I don't know. I am a binger, true. But the one shot seasons are a lot
this
easier
guy who
for
pounds.
Me.
Who pounds 5,000 episode animes in 2 seconds? rewatches Family Guy 27 seasons. But he can't deal with five seasons of Stranger Things, man.
True. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Nice. I like it.
Speaking of anime, I can jump in. I'm Paul, for anybody listening who doesn't know my voice.
Hi, I'm Paul.
So I didn't really finish anything recently, I guess, besides like Vampire Academy, which definitely, Jimmy, I'm excited to hear your thoughts and, you know, how it sets up for, you know, potential season two, because me, B-Toms, and Kathleen were very hype about it. So it'll be cool to see a reaction from somebody who's not on the vampire part of Binge Town. That's how that series happened. I'm pretty sure somebody was like, oh, yeah, Luke, Brian, and Paul, don't you guys like watch vampire shows? Yeah, sure. So we covered
you watched Watchmen recently, didn't you? That's relatively recently.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Honestly, the last time we did Benchtown, I was in the middle of it. And that was just crazy TV. It was one of the coolest endings and like twists. There's so many twists that were so brilliant. And I don't really want to say more than that. It's just, it was a lot of what the fuck's going on up through like episode 3, episode 4. You still didn't really kind of understand. And then things were slowly coming together, at least for me, because I wasn't able to dissect it, but it was great. I'm currently watching Vinland Saga, which is, you know, anime on Netflix. And
give Jimmy the little synopsis of it.
That's another one.
Yeah, because I don't know what.
Sorry, yeah, I was cutting in real quick. I was just Alki had introduced me to that, and I'm only like 5 episodes in, so I'm curious to hear where you're at, Paul, because I know you had mentioned that to me fairly recently that you were
watching it. I think I jumped you.
Yeah, you probably jumped me. I think I was at 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'm at 12 now. I'm enjoying it. It's without giving too much away, just like literally just like this boy's coming of age into like an insane warrior.
Can't go wrong there, dude.
It's all Vikings, and they're throwing names like names of countries around like Wessex, and I'm like, all right, so we're just the last kingdom. So there's literally names of those like people named, like the Last Kingdom definitely are named people in Vinland Saga. So it's pretty entertaining, but you know, it's like an anime, so everything's exaggerated. It's really cool. Loving it.
Cool.
Also just started for books, the Malazan series by Steven Erikson. And I'm like,
you're doing it. I'm proud of you.
Page like 400. And it's like the craziest fantasy I've read so far. I haven't read a lot. I've only read, you know, the Cosmere, the First Law series, and that sequel. And that's pretty much it for like the.
I
almost like don't consider that.
Yeah.
Have you? Harry Potter? I mean, I loved it.
Yeah.
Harry Potter. I was going to say Harry Potter too.
No, but this guy never finished. Right, Paul? You never finished, did you?
Harry Potter? No, I never read. Yeah, oh, I got.
What a wuss, dude.
I know. I got.
Oh my God.
What about Thrones? I can't remember. Did you read Thrones?
No. And I was thinking about, you know,
don't do it.
Reading that. But only.
It's worth it, but then you get upset.
You should do it. It's so good.
I was going to say only if, you know, we got a conclusion to it, because Lord knows how long that's going to be. And I don't. Well, I see how miserable you guys are waiting for the next one.
We're not miserable, bro. We just reread it a million times.
Luke's definitely miserable.
I'm salty.
I'm pretty miserable, dude. Let me just say.
Just reread it again. You're good.
Yeah, well, let me just say, Paul, he's 75% done. It's been going for 12-ish years. So we got another probably 4-ish, 5-ish years, and we got the next one, dude. We're good.
Yeah, I got to experience the pain of waiting.
Well, one thing I learned recently about Malazan, though, and you can get back to it, whatever you want to talk about, but it's 10 books, and the first book. So Jimmy, do you know much about Malazan?
No, I don't.
It's actually one of the considered like the greatest fantasy series ever. It's like the epitome of high fantasy. Steven Erikson's the GOAT, apparently.
Huh.
Apparently. It's always been high on my list.
Is he still active? Is he
I think he is. He's a little bit, because his whole universe in Malazan, there's all these side books that he works on with other creators that he lets touch, but the main 10 book series, it was based on a D&D Dungeons and Dragons campaign that he started, and then he just expanded it all over the place. But Paul,
so he was the dungeon master, and like that was his story, and he kind of just was like, I'm gonna write this book. That's pretty sweet.
They call it fantasy expert level, where you start in the middle of a story and he doesn't give you any like hand holding. So that's why it's a turnoff to some people, but once it clicks, it's like the best thing ever, apparently.
Okay. Paul,
one of the things I learned was that in between, I think book 1 and 2 was like 10 years. And then he started being consistent. And people say like, it's an unbelievable jump in quality and thought out plot and just writing in general once you hit book 2. So if you can get through book 1 and you like it, like you're going to love the series.
He probably just created book 1 as like a feeler. He's like, let me just like see what people think of this universe that I come up with.
It's amazing, honestly. Like about page 300, 350, pieces started coming together for me. And to get there is quite a challenge. I mean, they have a dramatis personae, which is, I guess, the Latin for people list. And it has a list of like everybody in the book, and I counted, and there's like 92 names in it. And it's just the first one. And they break it up into like different groups of people, maybe where regions are, but it's a lot It's a lot of paying attention, and I definitely understand how people could struggle to get through it. But I mean, it's great. It's definitely like the coolest, like high fantasy that I've come across. Like people just wave their arms, become invisible. Like the magic system's really cool. They're called Warrens, and there's different Warrens that you can get that leads to different magic systems. And I know so little about it, but it's already so cool. So I highly recommend it to everybody.
Are you reading an audiobook or just reading?
I'm doing both.
Yeah.
So yeah, I finally pulled trigger and bought the books because it definitely helps me.
I like to have the physical books too.
Yeah, it gets me through it quicker too, and I fucking love it. So
love it.
Then what I'm planning to watch is Guillermo del Toro's Cabinets of Curiosities on Netflix. Kyle, you raised your hand, and that's interesting because that's like a horror series.
I have no interest in it. I just heard of it. I'd sent a TikTok, I think, into our group chat about it that I don't think got any responses. So
I don't have a TikTok, so I couldn't help you out there. But
I think you could still click the link, right?
Yeah. But I usually don't do that. So way to throw me under the bus, Jimmy. It's basically like Midnight Mass, like when they just tell their ghost stories. It's
Midnight Club, you mean? Yeah.
I'm sorry, Midnight Club. It's I'm pretty sure like six individual stories, and they're just like little horror shorts. And
you're saying he copies Flanagan?
I think he watched Midnight Club, and wrote
he just quickly wrote it and filmed it and got it out in like a week or two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, I think it's like he's more of like a. Not like a host, but like it's like people are making like their own things. Like he didn't make all of them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Because I've seen a bunch of videos on TikTok about it now. Like people ranking them and all this kind of stuff. And I'm pretty sure they're by just like a bunch of different people.
Wow, that's
nice. Cool. All right. Cool. Luke, are you next or did you go? Like,
okay. I'll rip it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spend the most time talking about what I watched recently, but watching currently, because planning to watch, you guys kind of nailed a bunch of the things that I was saying. So starting with like what I watched and finished recently, obviously Midnight Club and House of the Dragon, both fantastic. Mm-hmm. I loved both of them. She-Hulk, I watched. I watched it all, and I kind of liked it.
Okay.
We didn't podcast on it because
me too.
It would have gotten ripped apart at that level, but just as a fun in the background kind of show that I just... It's a very interesting ending, Deadpool-esque, not to get too spoilery, but it was worth watching, in my opinion, because it's going to kind of matter, especially when it comes to Mark Ruffalo.
So
you mentioned Deadpool, though. We hype about Deadpool.
Yeah, right? Deadpool. Oh, yeah. I was loving, they had Ryan Reynolds on Jimmy Fallon, I think it was, and he was like, so what's it like to have Hugh Jackman finally, after all this time, to be, you know, tag-teaming with Deadpool? You've been trying to get this forever, and Ryan Reynolds is like, you know what, man, in my old age, all I care about nowadays, I love being in this business, but I just want to work with people I love and people who are super experienced and who are great actors. He's like, Hugh Jackman are neither of those, but I love Logan. But he's the man.
Definitely worth watching at least the summary footnotes because it's going to it has some impact into Marvel. Like it's going to matter some things.
So
go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we even want to talk about the ending because I don't know if we want to be spoilery or not. I don't know if any of you guys are going to watch. Are you or do you care about spoilers or should we just pass?
Luke's already kind of filled me and Alki in at least on what the ending was. Okay, I didn't care too much about it.
Well, my whole thing is in the shortest way possible of talking about it, Luke, do you think that it brings up any kind of problems with, again, it's like another thing where it's like not loopholes. And I know that they do with Kevbot. I love using Kevbot, even though they have the robot and he says that I'm putting up my security again. So this can never happen again where you control the show. But I mean, you were okay with that where it was just like, she controlled it.
It was very, very weird. Like I said, Deadpool and her are going to interact on the big screen at some level eventually, and they're probably going to revisit these kind of things. I don't know if I loved it, but I like that they rewrote where they were going to go.
Yeah, I just think it's like, I don't want to say troubling. I just think it's like there's just so many ways that they're writing into this universe, how you could just go backwards and change things anytime you freaking want, and it's... If they don't use it, then fine. But I feel like it's going to be used and it's going to be a problem. But we'll see.
Yeah. And so the one I really wanted to talk about, and I've kind of been slowly talking about to some of you guys off air. But what I just finished, or I'm caught up now on, is Apple TV show. It's called For All Mankind. And I'll give the quick little pitch here. because it's a three season, and I want to put in quotes, like, juggernaut show of Apple TV. You don't hear about it because it's Apple TV, but it is one of the shows that's been there for a while. It's already in the production of season four, so it's still going. It's still getting views. But what this show is, For All Mankind, is just a revisionist history show about what would have happened in American history if the Soviets beat the United States to the moon in 1969. And then it does all, and it plays out like what happens. It's a drama show, slow burn a little bit, which is why I don't recommend it to people. And I wouldn't put it for the podcast, but if you're into really well-written, well-acted dramas, this is a great one. It stars Joel Kinnaman, who's from Suicide Squad, Killing. I think he's in a bunch of things. He's the man. Everybody loves Joel Kinnaman. And then the co-star, who he's married to in the show, is Chantel Van Santen. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but it's Billy Butcher's wife.
Let's go,
which is a pretty cool cast because she's great.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say about it is that it's a show kind of similar to House of the Dragon, where it takes place over decades, and but in this case they don't change actors and they just age them up, so by the end, like, we're in the 90s and Joel Kinnaman's like grayed out and shit. So it's like, it's fun. It's like, it's a very like well thought out show, and not one I usually pitch to people, especially for our binge down audience, but if you're into dramas, definitely hit it up. I think everybody will like it.
That sounds like a good pitch. I know you talked to me about it before and it interested me, definitely.
Yeah. So for currently watching, I'll be quick here because I'm not watching anything super fun. Better Call Saul, I'm like casually watching. Towards the back of season three, I'm liking it. Gus finally showed up, so I'm liking it, but not super passionate about it. Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, I'm on episode six. Like, I haven't watched it yet, and I've picked up from the internet that this is like the climax and it's just like the absolute peak. Like, I'm expecting a huge battle next episode because I even remember when it aired and like how crazy social media was. So I'm really excited. I'm pretty much at the peak, and I'm liking, like Kyle, Lord of the Rings a lot. Didn't think I would, but Rings of Power, it's been better than my expectations.
Yeah.
You want to say anything on that, Kyle?
Yeah, episode six was really good. Honestly, I finished it and I was okay. I guess I was generally okay with it. But again, I watched it more of a show, probably almost maybe similar in the way you watch She-Hulk, and that like it was on. Mm-hmm. And I was like paying attention and stuff, but like I think if we podcasted on it, I would have liked it a lot less. And I just, as one does when they finish TV shows and movies, you go on the internet a little bit just to see what people are saying, and I just had to stop reading all of the negative things because I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Oh, that kind of makes sense. So I was like, okay. Well,
Rings of Power suffered the issue of coming out, like they said, we have the biggest budget in all of TV show history. And so the hype for it was just through the roof. And when it didn't meet the expectations, people just lost it on the show. And I feel like that's, for us, I think we came in at a good time to watch it when the hype kind of died down and we weren't seeing it as much in our social media. So we didn't have to get like biased opinions.
We're not like hardcore fans.
Yeah.
So like I didn't know until after I watched and was online that they didn't like get the rights to, like they only got the rights to like people, like to like characters. So they just kind of like push them into their own story. That's not actually how anything happened. Mm-hmm. Like Ellen, oh, I'm sorry, I might be messing his name up. No, Elendil, right? The dad from Numenor. Is like, and Isildur are not, like, they do not, are not alive at this time at all. But they're they got the rights to these characters, they just had to put them in the story, because why would they waste the money on them?
Yeah, it's kind of a letdown.
I really liked when you were texting us, Kyle, and your explanation or whatever is perfect of how you felt watching it. Because we talked about this a lot with Wheel of Time. You know, casual watchers who didn't really know the show, or the books, I'm sorry, really, really liked the show. A lot of people who read the books, besides Luke, had some issues, you know, and then you dive deeper in stuff and because you know the books and you have this passion for it. And naturally, you're going to start picking at it. And it was a show that could be picked at, you know, and if you're just watching Lord of the Rings casually, I've heard plenty of people were like, yeah, it's good. Fine.
Yeah. And there's like things I was watching where, like, you know, a battle scene and something goofy happens and you just kind of shake your head like, okay, that's just like how TV goes sometimes. And it was a decent amount of that, I would say. The ending with like the actual, like, not to spoil anything, but like it's called Rings of Power. So when they talk about the rings and the rings kind of become a little bit of a thing, I thought was a little confusing for me as well. But I mean, I will tune in to season two, I think, for sure. Like, it did enough to get me to that point, I would say. More but again, yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of like my eyes are on the screen, but like I'm not really expecting some like insane level of television from it.
What are you more hyped for, Rings of Power season two or Witcher season four?
Four, yeah, because well,
Rings of Power, I guess.
Like, yeah, actually, you know what? This is totally something we should
talk
about. Yeah, let's talk about it really
squeeze
quick.
This in. And Sandman too, probably.
So obviously, the news came out that Henry Cavill is leaving The Witcher after season three. So we're having a season three with Henry Cavill come out, and I believe it comes out what? And not that long from
it's
now,
like
right?
20
summer, or is it soonish? Like not it's, like too far away, right?
Yeah.
So it should be within the next couple of months. Like we should have a hard date.
Christmas is The Witcher Blood Origin.
Okay.
So that's like the show.
So yeah, let's just get into it. I want to hear Paul's first, because Paul's the big Witcher guy. We're all big Henry Cavill men here. So let's go. Let's hear. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's not going to be the same show at all. I mean, it's just unbelievable shoes to fill. He was such a driving force between the hype and the fans were just loving how much he loved the material. And when you love the material, it shows. Like when you love the role, it shows. I mean, not to say Liam is going to be bad, but I know it came out around the same time as him announcing that he will reprise his role as Superman. And I'm happy for him because he said in an interview is excited to, or he was upset that he couldn't fully explain the Superman that he portrayed story. So he's happy that he can finally, you know, cap an end onto it. I don't believe that's the reason he left. I believe that he left because the writers just disrespected completely the books and the source material. I mean, you saw season two wasn't even an adaptation. It was a completely new show and idea. And there was even rumors, you know, the writers didn't even like the books and shows. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like Henry was so passionate about it, and to see your dream just be ripped apart in front of you, I understand why he would want to leave. He was even quoted saying, you know, I'm down for the 7-season Witcher plan as long as we can continue telling great stories and respect Sapkowski's work. And I think he's no longer agrees that they're respecting Sapkowski's work.
Mm-hmm. So that is the main narrative, is that he left because of the writing differences. And if that's true, amazing.
Commend him.
I'm in. But if it's because of the recent Superman news, mm-hmm. I am no longer a diehard Henry Cavill fan. And I mean that. Like,
with all due respect,
not even as an yeah, like I still like the guy, but he's no longer in my like top tier of like favorite people in Hollywood. I don't mean that as an overreaction. I genuinely mean that. Like that would be ridiculous that you would pick Superman, who's part of the absolutely fucked up DC universe, over Geralt.
Why choose Superman, a role that you've done in the past that obviously hasn't been getting the respect that it deserves from DC, over a show that clearly is beloved by its fan base? And so that's all I'm trying to say. But I think my main issue with it is that Liam Hemsworth is going to come in as Geralt. Like, to me, that sounds like they're not even going to address
you're not going to break the fourth wall. They're just going to.
And then that immediately just ruins it for me. Like,
you ever watch Spartacus, dude?
And did that work out for Spartacus?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a little different because he passed away.
It's
going to
work out for Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
With
true.
Matt.
But either way, I just think that if they had maybe done it in a way that it wasn't going to be Liam Hemsworth as Geralt, maybe if it was a second generation of like Geralt, like the kind
kill
of
Geralt,
kill Geralt, and then like maybe have Geralt like have a, not a son necessarily, but someone he views as like another level of Siri character kind of, and maybe that person becomes Liam Hemsworth, which I would have been fine with. But the fact that they're not even going to address the actor change in the show just makes me.
Yeah, I mean, if they're shitting on the books and the video games, like the rumors are coming out, then yeah, why not just kill Geralt and put somebody else in as the Witcher? I mean, I do think that you're right, Dave. It's going to mess with me to have, whether it could have been like my other favorite actor in the world jumping in as Geralt. It's still going to mess with me seeing the main character of a show just right through in the middle of a series switch and change. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they've done it before with different people. We just talked about Spartacus, obviously Wheel of Time, but most of the time when you see it, it's either funnily addressed or it's not a main character, like the main character. Mm-hmm. It's tough, but you know Henry Cavill's like the coolest dude ever, nerd wise like he's the coolest nerd, and he's you know, I understand. Well, we're the coolest nerds, right, Connor?
So, yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, I mean, I feel like Henry Cavill would like us, right? But no, I just think that the Superman thing, he had a passion for it the same as he had Geralt. So maybe, you know, I don't know which one he had more of a passion for, but I commend him if he really does think that they were screwing it up and he really had such a passion for Geralt that, yo, you screwed this up so bad, I'm out.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I wish he would just stick around. But, you know, as a fellow nerd, I totally understand. And I agree. Like, I'd rather him be Geralt than Superman 100%. I mean, I like that James Gunn is in now and he's probably going to fix the DCEU. And now it's not EU anymore. It's DCU. But, you know, I think that maybe that was a reason why Superman was coming back into the fold. But, you know, we'll see, because it, like you said, I mean, DC's pretty much been a dumpster fire, except a few of the TV shows, a few of the movies.
He was one of the lone bright spots of the universe, to be honest. Like, he's always been a consistent actor. And I think even in Man of Steel, a movie that wasn't maybe widely as popular or, you know, widely known as one of his best roles, I guess, or I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But either way, like, he was very passionate about it. And I think he did a very good job of a shit show situation.
Yeah,
Superman is just hard. He's hard to make interesting because he's like the goody two shoes, way too powerful kind of guy. And honestly, Henry Cavill is Superman to me. Like, don't recast him. Like, when they were talking about recasting him, just freaking bring Henry Cavill back. There's no reason to recast Henry Cavill on anything, especially Superman, where it's like he's the perfect looking guy. Like, he's got the build. He's a great actor. He's got everything for Superman. So just keep the stories going and try to fix it.
You could say the same exact thing about The Witcher with that. That's funny.
With Geralt. Yeah. With him as Geralt. But that's his decision
to
leave.
Yeah. We need to change the writers too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Fair.
See, because that's the thing. DC got James Gunn, changed the whole thing.
Honestly, I'm happy for him, like you're saying. If Geralt was dead and there was no saving him, at least he can go, you know, save his Superman character.
Yeah. That was a crazy moment.
On the same page about that.
But that was a crazy moment when we found out. I was at a freaking wedding, I think. Wherever I was busy. And I saw really quick on Twitter and I texted you guys. And for a second, I thought it was going to be one of those things where it was like a fake out. And I was like, oh, I got. But then I saw you guys like confirming it, being like, oh my God, what the hell? Like, that's a crazy thing to just pop up out of nowhere with not really any kind of rumors that he was leaving at all.
Right.
When the news came out, we were all so mad. We were so mad. But now that the more news is slowly leaking out about what's actually going on, I'm less upset about it. Still very upset, but a little less so because, again, like you guys have been saying, Henry Cavill, I just want him to be happy.
We were at a party and it just killed the vibe for like an hour. Everyone, I'm talking like,
well,
what?
To be fair, we were also watching Penn State piss down their leg against Ohio State in the fourth quarter. So, they gave up 28 points and it was like, well, I don't want to do anything now.
Yep.
And that was just the extra salt in the wound in that.
Exactly.
Moment.
Yeah, that was tough. But also, I mean, not a silver lining, but it just does make me think that Game of Thrones fans continue to eat well.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It really is. True. It's true.
It's just
so hard to land a perfect show when it gets to that length, I guess.
Let's talk about that, because that might be a perfect segue if we don't have anything else to say on the Witcher Henry Cavill thing.
Let's do it.
So, in real time, what's today's date? We're November 9th. So, like, within the last week, it's been announced that all of the names of the actors that have been submitted to the Emmys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And submitted to the Emmys for House of the Dragon nominations. Just, I wanted to go through and I'll name everybody that got submitted in which categories, but I'm curious, have any of you guys not looked up the complete list? Because we could turn this.
I have not.
I just know the guessing game. I just know the main people.
Okay.
Pretty much.
I know what happens when people win. I don't have any type of interest in looking at it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, before the ceremony happens. Yeah.
Okay. Paul, Kyle, you both haven't seen it?
No.
I have not seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll make this fun then, because I'm excited to see what you guys would say, because there are a couple of very shocking actors that were submitted from my perspective. All right. So to get two things clear here, the Emmys have it split between actor and actresses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because of the non-binary actors on the show, well, being Emma, she falls into an actress category, I guess. I don't know if Emma signs off on that or not. I don't know how that works, but that's a spoiler. And I think you guys all would have guessed that the lead actress that was pushed forward, it was Emma. And
right.
Emma might freaking win it. There was only one lead actor that was submitted for. And any guesses?
I know.
Okay, if you know,
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I know Patty. I was gonna say Patty. Yeah,
thoughts, is that Viserys?
That's Viserys. Yeah.
Okay. So yes. Oh.
Yeah. Well, no. I was gonna say that anyway.
I mean, I feel like it has to be Patty because he just killed it. He really did, and then he got such a great metaphorical standing ovation when his character left screen and he was done with the show. Clap, 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 and you know, he deserves it.
George R. R. Martin saying that the show's Viserys was way better than his Viserys is just like such a compliment.
Give him an Emmy, dude.
That is the that is the biggest compliment you can get. So you might as well just give him the Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for spoiling that, Paul. The real fun one is going to be the supporting actor and supporting actresses. So let's do this where we're going to go through who you guys think was nominated or submitted to be nominated for supporting actors. And there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you guys can say the character names. There are five of them.
This is only House of the Dragon?
Only House of the Dragon. So you guys give me the character names, and if you get it right, I'll say their actors' names. But let's round
table. We get
a
prize?
Let me go first.
Yeah, just you get one guess.
Matt Smith.
So Matt Smith as Daemon Targaryen was submitted. There's one of them.
He's a main actor. He is an actor.
And I'll say Otto.
Otto Hightower, who is Rhys Ifans?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, yes, he was nominated for supporting actor.
Allison?
Supporting actor. Guys.
Totally missed that.
You want to skip for now? What do you think?
Three more. We got three more. And two of, honestly, all three of these are very not surprising, but I wouldn't have expected them to be nominated.
Better not be Sir Kristen Cole.
Sir Kristen Cole. Fabian Frankel has been nominated.
No way. Actor. Well, honestly, great for him.
He was good. Yeah, he
fucking
was good.
Hate his character. So
who else
great
we
job.
Got?
More. The Sea Snake.
Steve Toussaint.
The goat.
Corlys Velaryon has been nominated for Best Supporting Actor, which is amazing.
Okay. Now, come on. Let's round this out with
Larry Strong.
Yes.
Oh, I was just gonna say let's round this out with a W for our boy Baby Monk. Man, come
Matthew
on.
Matthew,
I know. I'm kidding. Really,
Larry Strong. Did you know that, or how did you guess?
I was
that?
Gonna guess Laner
because I'm that guy, bro. What are you talking about?
I'm surprised Laner was.
I'm the SME, baby.
I guess he didn't really do much. No.
You are the SME, dude.
That's
surprising.
That
let's
the
think.
Most
Larry Strong.
He was fantastic too.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, yeah, definitely. But he didn't have like much screen time.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did it towards the end. He became such a big player in the whole
show.
That's
what I was trying to think. Like compared to Aemon, the screen time, he probably still has more, right?
Yeah, Aemon, I think will be there for season two.
Yeah,
but
I definitely
agree.
Wanted.
Right.
It's too early.
I definitely wanted our baby monk in there.
He'll be there.
Me too. Yeah.
Guaranteed, he'll be season two.
Oh yeah, it's season two.
That square jaw deserves it, man.
I'll just hit vote like just a million times for him.
Yeah.
So now actresses.
Yeah. Okay. So actresses, and again, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 submitted. So Paul, you can start us off here.
Real quick before, sorry, I was muted. Before we move past Rhys Ifans, Otto Hightower, did you guys know, and I know Kyle, you talked about it on the pod, that he portrayed a character that we all love in another series, but did you talk about him in Harry Potter?
I
brought
did,
it up.
Right?
Yeah,
we
did.
Yeah.
We talked about Harry Potter in like every episode
somehow. We did. Weirdly, well, I was only in the last two, but
somehow got brought up in every episode.
So is he two different characters? Because what was he? What did you say he was? He was one of the Death Eaters or something like that.
Wait,
he's Luna's dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's Xenophilius.
Back to actresses, I will say Allison.
Young or old?
Old Allison.
Yeah, so Olivia Cooke was nominated as Best Supporting Actress. There's one.
Are we going back to which way the circle's going now?
I think we'll just go with you, Jimmy, and then Kyle.
All right, let's go with Millie.
Millie Alcock, a.k.a. Young Rhaenyra, has been nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Is there one more?
No, three more. There's five each. Yeah.
I'm going to guess Princess Rhaenyra. Or we just did that. Sorry. What's her name?
Rhaenys,
yes.
Yeah, baby.
Eve Best. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Why did I say Rhaenys? Sorry,
Eve Best, let's go.
Second best on Team Black.
Yeah, I really enjoyed her performance, absolutely.
Behind Daemon.
And there's two more?
Two more characters were nominated, and one, if you guys guess this, I'm thinking you're cheating.
I'm going to say Queen Emma.
No,
Oh, that would have been a good. That would have been a good random. Well, I'm just looking through the cast here now. You're making me want to like pick sketchy people just to see if I can.
One's not sketchy and one is sketchy.
Okay. Well, is Emily Carey not one?
Yes, Emily Carey is another one. Young Alice.
Okay. I assumed when you said old that it wasn't.
Yeah. Right. Well, when you asked Paul Young or old, I thought it was either or, and it was the one was going to be wrong. So okay.
So how much do we have? One more, two more.
So we got the one that I
if it's fucking Sonya whatever who plays
Sonya Mizuno. What?
That's crazy.
Hell no.
That's crazy.
No, it's Miss Aria, who is
the chick with the accent
who can't talk.
Yeah. I actually, it's funny that we brought her up because there. I don't know how I fell into this hole on Twitter, but it was like House of the Dragon tweets and just like a lot of them were like mentioning her terrible accent.
Oh yeah. It was all over the place. Yeah.
That's wild. That's like, I can't believe they have that many.
She's not going to win it. She better.
No.
Well, I mean,
but they have that many. It's nominated. Like, it's crazy.
There's been Marvel movies and certain franchises where you're just throwing people in and they definitely don't deserve it, but they're just so mainstream that they're getting their name put in to lose pretty much. But yeah. I'm not saying these actors don't deserve it. I think she's a sketchy choice just because I wouldn't even consider that like much of a supporting actress. She's like supporting.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing. She's the level below
supporting
that.
Adjacent.
Even just like off the top of my head, like I just watched White Lotus. Like Alexander Daddario was so much better as like a supporting character in that show than
Sonoya.
Yeah.
So you want? Well, I mean, yeah.
I just it's crazy. I don't know. I'm sure. How many people get nominated total?
Well, it's submitted to be nominated. It's submitted. I don't know what the process is.
It's not like they're chosen. Yeah, they're not the chosen ones. They're
Matt Smith better clean.
Okay. All right. Well, then, because I thought you were they were well, all and there's up also, for the award 100%. I was like, that seems like too much from one show.
And there's literally also politics with it. Obviously, you guys would know. Like, people would slide actors into other categories just so they might win. Like Matt Smith's definitely a main actor. He's not a supporting actor, I wouldn't say. You know, like
say the same thing about Olivia Cooke as Queen Alice, she could almost
right. So, actress. but you can get a W for Patty and a W for Matt Smith because it's main actor and supporting actor. You know, that's just how they try to do it. But
what is it? Like, how do you even determine a main actor? Is it like a percentage of screen time? Like, how do you even determine that? Like, because what you're saying is exactly true. Like,
you might have to self-submit. So, like,
yeah, and
it's who your competition is. So, like, you could say, is Matt Smith the best supporting actor in the category? I'm gonna assume that he is. Like,
yeah.
But if you put him into lead actor, it's gonna be way.
I mean, I'm pretty sure. Like, at certain times, Peter Dinklage was put in as supporting, even though he could have been easily a main. Yeah. And I think he might have won a supporting. Don't quote me on that, but
I feel like he did too, actually.
I mean, they're definitely, I feel like, just trying to give deservedly Patty his flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I could easily see Matt Smith getting lead for season two.
As long as they do it for shows that I like, then I'm happy.
Yeah, right. I hope they have Adam Scott in there, man.
So to end out this segment, I want everybody to guess, or if you were going to pick an award for any of the either lead actor, lead actresses, supporting actors, supporting actresses of the people I named, like who is the most deserving? Is everyone going to say Matt Smith is supporting actor?
To me, it's just Matt Smith. I think his performance for me personally was just the best by far.
Nah, give me Patty.
Patty's up there, but
you're saying who out of that would you rather win anything, or
who's most likely, I guess, to win in their category?
Oh, I think Patty will be up there.
I think Matt Smith's more likely to win, but I think that Patty should win main.
Mm-hmm. I think they all deserve, like a lot of them deserve it, but I think that Patty was getting way more applause than some of the other actors and actresses in general. And he seems like he could be a front runner over the category with all the actors from all the shows. Emma was amazing. So maybe, I would say.
But only and Matt Damon, Jesus. Only him
Matt
and
Damon
Matt
from Thor,
him, Matt Smith, and then Otto were the only ones that are like actually in, and Kristen are like the ones who were in. I feel like the fact that there is Millie and Emma and Amelia, I might be fucking her name up. Amelia and Olivia.
Yeah.
Emily. Like, I feel like they play against each other almost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That being said, I still think old Allison has a big chance of pulling in best supporting actress.
That's
I would agree with that.
Best supporting actress. Mm-hmm, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think Olivia Cooke is the best.
Where is duty? Where is sacrifice?
Don't get biased, bro.
All right, Jimmy, let's take it home with what we got.
So this isn't really going to be anything that I want to go long. I'm going to put a cap on it so we don't go long here.
I'm going over that cap.
Dude, I got a timer and everything, bro. Yeah, no
cap. Fuck your timer.
No cap.
So here we go. We have on the Bingetown TV YouTube channel, our community channel, we have the top 8 shows of 2022. And we have people voting, and I'm not going to tell you guys any of the winners or anything. And I'm not going to have you guys do any bracket. We can do that at another time if we want. And we actually do have in the works, maybe its own podcast with another special guest. If anyone liked the Severance episode, Team Money might be back. So we have Severance, Ozark, Better Call Saul, The Boys, House of the Dragon, The Bear, Rings of Power, and Barry. So this is what I want from you guys. Right now, we're in the finals. I'm not telling you guys who's in the finals, but what I want is you to tell me out of those 8, what's your favorite, why, and that's it. Just roll it out, maybe a minute or so. And if somebody says what you're going to say, which, listen, we all know we could talk about House of the Dragon, start going to runner up so we could talk a little bit about some of the other shows if you want.
Name those
what do you
eight,
do?
Yeah, let's
name those 8 one more time for me.
Yeah, again. Sure, sure. Severance, Ozark, Better Call Saul, The Boys, House of the Dragon, The Bear, Rings of Power, and Barry. What do you do? Go.
I'm going to take The Bear because someone's going to talk about House of the Dragon.
Good. I'm glad you could, because Kathleen isn't here to defend it, because it's got a lot of good reviews.
I love The Bear.
Yeah.
The Bear was legitimately fantastic.
I haven't seen it.
Like every episode, the finale is amazing. Jeremy Allen White, maybe, is his name. Lip from Shameless is probably a better way that more people will know him. He was legit amazing. Like, I think he, I don't know what the deal is with like shorter shows like that. I don't know, but he should get nominated, I think, for an Emmy in the best or main leading actor category.
I think he might, man. He's got a lot of backing. Yeah.
The finale of that show.
King Viserys?
No. Come on.
He's not.
Come on. I'll sit the throne today. but it just, the finale episode, he has a monologue in it that was like, blew me away when I watched it. Like, almost like emotional. Like, it's crazy because it's so hard sometimes when you see like an actor that you know, and it's like, okay, that's the actor's name, but they're playing a character. But him, he was so good. It's like, that's Carmi. And I feel like that's hard sometimes for people that are such famous, well-known actors. So The Bear was fucking awesome. Episode 7, too, was crazy. They shot it in one take, which is nuts. It's just a continuous take, no edits. It was a great show.
Love it.
All right. So wait, hold on. So you said The Bear is your favorite of those.
Well, besides House of the Dragon.
And yeah, I'm assuming someone's going to take it.
We should just all assume all of us are.
But so we're going to speak on our favorite or what runner up, but then also you're saying guess who's the final two? Was that part of it?
Yeah, sure. If you want to do that, yeah.
I'm too involved with the YouTube. I know the answer, so okay. I won't say.
All right, I'm going to go because I don't want someone stealing it. It is easily Severance for me.
Oh, easily.
After the goat, House
the boys
the
is there too, dude.
Yeah, wait, what the fuck?
Oh, that's so. If we're talking, we're talking season 3 though, right?
Yeah, of 2022. Yeah. So you have to talk about
Just talk Severance.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say Severance. It's actually okay. Yeah, I forgot about the boys in there.
Looks so like because I want to talk about.
I rescind the easily part of that, but I'll go with Severance. I just when Luke introduced me to that show, I watched the first episode and I just couldn't get enough of it. It's one of those things where I watched it and it kept me up at night, and especially the ending still keeps me up at night.
All hot and bothered.
That's my 1-minute spiel. Just amazing show.
Good. Love it.
Go ahead, Paul.
I'll take Barry, even though it's cheating a little bit, because I haven't seen all of season 4. I've only seen the first 2 episodes, but I mean,
you're going to say the first 2 episodes are better than every other show that's on this list.
Well, no, I'm not. But everybody
you just
want to
have
some.
Okay, all right, fine.
Yeah, if I had to actually say it, well, I know I was going to leave that because I figured somebody else would. I mean, I'll fucking talk about the boys too. But under 60 seconds, Paul, you're not doing it. NoHo Hank, the supporting actor in Barry, is one of my favorite characters of all time. He's absolutely fucking hysterical, but also Bill Hader is unbelievable. Like the emotions that he shows, like ups and downs, is incredible. And it's just a fun ride. And they're like 20 some minute episodes that you can just breeze through them. I love Barry. Barry's a great show.
And Luke, do you think that Barry made it to the finals? Just curious.
I want to say no. I don't think he did. If I had a guess who made it to the finals, I don't know what the bracket was set up like, but I'm going to say like the boys and Severance.
I'm going to
go with, I lied. The boys and Better Call Saul.
I'm going to go with House of the Dragon. And Better Call Saul was a good underdog pick, Paul. Like, I feel like there's going to be one that surprises us that has like a large audience that's going to catch us by surprise. But I'm going to go with the boys. I'll go with the boys and House of the Dragon.
I will take the low-hanging fruit of House of the Dragon because I fucking loved it. I was the one on the podcast that said episode 10 was the best. So in my opinion, it is currently peaking and will be peaking until season 2 for 2 years. And I also am on record saying that I think season 1 of House of the Dragon is better than season 1 of Game of Thrones. I was obsessed with this show. I've watched every single episode probably 3 times. Podcasting on it was amazing. It's just the actors, the Targaryen family, the world building, the lore. It's all so freaking perfect. And I'm going to give another shout out to Olivia Cooke. She's the hottest.
All right, Paul, jump back in with the boys for us.
Yeah. So realistically, I was going to say The Boys, but I figured somebody else was going to talk about it. The Boys is so unbelievable. That show, I was so ready to watch week to week more than House of the Dragon. I know we all watched the finale together for House of the Dragon. That was sweet. But The Boys season 3, incredible how they set the season up and how they finished it and set it up for season 4. I'm thinking, you know, oh, we're talking about, you know, King Viserys, how he's probably going to win lead. And I'm like, fuck, Anthony Starr. He has to go up against him, and I don't know if he can beat him. He is unbelievable. We say every episode, he can snap at like the flip of the switch, and he is just mind-boggling. He is completely changed how I look at best actors and what I look for now. So it's just incredible show, and that's not even to mention all supporting. Not even supporting Jack Quaid, unbelievable as Huey, name our cat after him. Starlight is incredible. There's so many good characters. Unbelievable writing.
Tony Starr should win best leading actor. He's on my Mount Rushmore of actors performances of all time. And Jensen Ackles in season 3, who people know from Supernatural, deserves to be submitted for supporting actor.
He was pound for pound
one of the best characters I've ever seen on TV.
We had a fun time on Binstown TV covering these shows, man. Oh, yeah. I'm wondering, and I'm hoping for us and for everyone that Tony Starr starts getting some like big time movie deals too. Because why would you not cast him? I know that he's going to be busy a lot, but
foaming at the mouth to get him in their universe. I bet.
Imagine he leaves Homelander role Geralt. That would be hilarious.
Weren't there rumors that he actually was?
I don't know what happened with them. I think nothing was released. I mean, people. I know that there was like a fan thing that he was going to be Wolverine, and then Tony Starr said, "I'm the same age as Hugh almost," and you know that's why he left. So what's the point and stuff like that? But all right, so let's give you guys the answer here. So the answer was The Boys versus House of the Dragon. Funnily enough, let me tell you guys how I set this up because I was
purposely
testing,
so that those two would. Be...
I was testing our audience here because I honestly didn't really know and. I wanted to see if it was going to turn into House of the Dragon versus Rings of Power at some point. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was going to end up being in the semifinals. And Barry beat the shit out of Rings of Power.
Wow.
So I was proud of
our audience. That is actually even more surprising.
Yes, because it's the fantasy genre. So Severance did very well. Severance went against the boys and it didn't do well against the boys, but it did pretty good. It beat Ozark. The Bear. They had House of the Dragon, so it's tough. But yeah, I mean, it was a fun little eight TV show bracket. We could definitely do that. Tyler, he might be coming back on the pod to talk about his favorite shows of 2022. He might have some curveballs to throw at us, and he probably will, to be honest. And to be completely transparent, I haven't seen the latest seasons of Better Call Saul or Ozark, so I'm going to have to jump on that before because I know Tyler's going to make sure that they're talked about.
Those are two shows I identify with you too, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I guess because of the pod, like because I'm watching certain shows because of the pod, I just haven't gotten a chance to watch Ozark. And it's funny because I saw Better Call Saul on my Netflix, and I was like, someone's watching it. Who's watching it? And also saw Austin Powers on my Netflix.
Yeah. I was hammered. I got like an hour and a half deep into that one.
I'm proud of you.
Which one?
It was actually, I think it was number 2.
Oh, was it Spy Who Shagged Me? I can't remember.
Number 2.
Yeah, man. Can't go wrong. Gotta get his mojo back. Yeah. Oh, well, then it's definitely Austin Powers, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have the full Midnight Club podcast group on here, but I want to get this question answered. We probably won't have another chance to answer it. So we have the four Flanagan shows that just were released in the last 4 years, 5 years. We have Midnight Mass, Midnight Club, Haunting of Hill House, and Haunting of Bly Manor. I want you guys to quickly give me your rankings. You can give any quick reasons why if you want. What do you do? Go.
All right. To start it off, no surprise to anybody, S tier of shows, not Flanagan shows, shows in general, Haunting of Hill House is number one. It's one of the best single season limited series shows I've ever seen in my life. Don't need to say much more about it. We almost bring it up on every podcast.
Yep.
And then tier gap at the top of an A tier show, I have Midnight Club, which is probably the hot take of these four. I was really into it. I thought the stories that they tell within it are fantastic, and the reused actors are always going to be a hit with me. They're all amazing. And right under Midnight Club, still in the A tier, I have Bly Manor, which I thought ended fantastically. It almost saved the whole show for me and actually really, really made me enjoy it, especially with, not to spoil anything, one of our Haunting of Hill House characters making an appearance.
A nice alum appearance.
Oh, hell yeah. And then another tier gap, and then we're going to say a B tier show, which I'm the lowest on, is Midnight Mass. And what I'll say about this show is the ride was amazing, and the actor for Father Paul is slipping my mind.
Hamish Linklater
gives one of the best performances of any show I've seen recently. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. With that being said, the writing for me fell completely apart at the end, and I had too many plot holes that I still enjoyed it and did not regret podcasting on it in any way, and I love Flanagan, but that's the weakest of the four for me.
All right. Love it. Paul, hit it.
Same. Hill House at top, clearly. Then I'm going to go Bly Manor, and then it's really tough because I want to say Midnight Club, but the lingering sensation of a second season mm-hmm. and not having everything answered after like the 10 episodes is really killing me right now. So I am actually going to put Midnight Mass third because, like Luke said, the ride was so fun. Hamish was incredible. And the story was just wild. And then I want to put Midnight Club 4 just because it's got Ooh. Way too many open ends. It's got way too many open ends for me right now.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to reiterate both of what you guys said and just kind of flip-flop a little bit on certain things. So my take would be Haunting of Hill House, Luke reiterating 100% what you said, one of the top five, top 10 shows of all time, not just Flanagan, all time for shows, amazing performances, amazing story, amazing spookiness. Let's go. Then I'm going to go, this is where I'm going to reiterate Paul a little bit here, where I have Bly next, and I really want to do a rewatch of Bly before I sit back and cement that in as number two. But for now, the reason why I'm going two for Bly and three for Midnight Club is what Paul said, his reasoning, and that reasoning is the open-endedness, the fact that season two is coming hopefully, but we don't even know, and that's the problem. A lot of people watch the show not realizing there's a season two that's planned, and that really kind of screwed up the ending for a lot of people, and we don't even know if it's definitely going to get greenlit. So just the fact that that's sitting there, bad taste in my mouth, makes me put that at three. And four is going to be Midnight Mass. Just like Luke said, I really did enjoy it. I had a lot of fun podcasting on it. It was good. Zach Guilford, you know, there's plenty. Rahul Kohli, Hamish Linklater, like he's one of the best of any actor in any of Flanagan's shows. Yep. But, you know, just I agree with Luke, what Luke said about the ending of Midnight Mass. It's still a Flanagan show, so it's still a great show, but it's number four out of the four we just listed.
And can we just do a quick guess of Kathleen's?
Yeah, let's do a guess. Kathleen, cool. What do you
She's
think?
She's going to listen back to this and kill me, but no, I think I got it. S tier is going to be for her Haunting of Hill House, and then Bly Manor is still up in that S for her for sure. Like that is right there.
Right.
And then she's going to do a tier gap into Midnight Mass. Actually,
I think she goes Club. I think she's
I don't know. I feel like she might have two tier gaps in between those two and then do Midnight Club and Midnight Mass back to back, like way lower.
Well, yeah, I think that she definitely will have the tier gap. And I think it could be a crapshoot whether she chooses, but I do think she goes Club then Mass.
All right, so that wraps up our first ever. What do we even want to call these? They're not town halls because we feel like we're reserving town halls for like when we want to argue about things. Yeah. So
Pat Minis, Patreon.
Pat Minis, Patreon.
The Pat Minis, the low key kickbacks. So yeah, that's
pool,
it. I mean, I was just kind
chill,
of
the poolside hangout.
Ridiculously.
Okay, well, we'll work on that. We'll work on that. Yeah, first, probably not the last. It's fun. I mean, obviously, we went a little longer, I think, than we had originally planned to. That's what happens when we get together and chat about shit that we like.
State of the Union.
If you like.
It's good. Okay, it's
Okay, we'll figure this out. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more and you want to listen to us cover any of the shows that we've talked about that we cover on this episode, you're going to want to subscribe to us on whatever you're watching or listening on. You can follow us on all social medias at Bingetown TV. And we have a website, BingetownTV.com. Pat Minis, as Dave said, is a reference to our Patreon. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/BingetownTV. If you're feeling extra super generous, and we have actually a decent amount of these types of episodes on our Patreon. If you want to go back and hear what we've been kind of chatting about throughout this year, last year, a little bit as well, they're all there for your access. And that's all I got. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.